It took place at the Guadaparanga Dam, which is right outside of Sao Paulo. It is a man-made dam lake used to supply water to Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm.
It took place in 1988. The body of was seen on an island in the dam area by fishermen who were offshore. It was in full view. There was no attempt to hide the body. It was just dumped there like so much rubbish. You know, it just laid there. Witnesses, instead of going there and, you know, getting all over the crime scene, did the smartest thing, which was they went and called the police, and the police showed up with forensic investigators also.
Mm-hmm.
The corpse was lying face up, only had on a pair of shorts. Now, the shorts were taken off to do the damage and then were put back on. Vanity, I guess. I have no idea why. But the police didn't do that. The mutilation was exactly like cattle. So I guess for those folks that don't know what cattle mutilation is, when cattle are mutilated, the most things that are missing or most things that are pronounced are the carcass is drained of blood. There's no trace or any substantial amount around or in the body. There are unusual holes found in the carcass, usually 1 to 1.5 inches in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
They're produced by some kind of a sucking device or a laser type of device, which can cauterize the wound with extreme heat. And that's been used in every case. The anus of the area is cored out just like you'd core out an apple. And the the carcass is emptied of its digestive system. Sensory organs are taken, eyes, internal ears, tongues, glands of the throat, sexual organs, lower intestines, and that's pretty much in every case of cattle mutilation.
In addition, I believe you never, ever find footprints coming to or leaving the area. You also find predators not interested in such remains, right?
Yeah, there have been photographs and taken by the New Mexico State Police, which actually has a unit that investigates cattle mutilation, where they've set up cameras and watched wolves and coyotes walk around the carcass. That's like you and I walking past a buffet table that's free.
Right.
They're just passing up a free lunch, but they will not go anywhere near it. A lot of people.
Butch, I'm sorry. Is there any reason that anybody's been able to discern for that? In other words, is there some scent or something that would cause an animal to not be interested in such a free lunch?
No. I've never read anything that gave any information to that. In one case, they actually took a carcass that was hit by a car, and they put it 150 yards away from a carcass that they were investigating. And within minutes, vultures were on that carcass.
The predators were all over it, yeah.
They were all over it, but they never touched the other carcass, which was laying there.
There's got to be a reason they could uncover, Butch, for that. There's got to be. All I can think of is, you know, animals operate on sense of smell very strongly. I don't know what other senses they might have that we don't know about, but I know the sense of smell is a very strong one, and maybe there is some scent, and maybe they'll look into that, that causes the animals to not be interested.
One of the, and again, it's the New Mexico State Police, I believe, that's doing some work on that, where they've sent stuff to private labs, and the organs, like the heart and the liver, are like mush. They're like peanut butter. And to do something like that to an animal, it would take a huge burst of radioactivity, a radiation burst of some sort, to turn those organs to that. And another thing they found, the blood, that little bit that they find inside the bodies,
mm-hmm.
doesn't clot for several days. Now, I have pups, and you know my pups get into trouble too, and they'll nick or cut themselves, and they're, you know, the blood stops within a matter of minutes, just like a human. But this blood doesn't clot. It doesn't do anything for several days, and then it will start to coagulate and it'll clot. They took the body, took photographs of course of everything, and the body was in good condition. Now you got to take into account for the heat in that area of the world, just like where you're at, just like
That's
Southeast
right.
Asia. Mm-hmm. The heat there is unbearable. So this victim was killed within 48 to 72 hours prior to discovery, yet there were no signs of putrefaction, no signs of any wounds on the body made by any predator animals, no bullet holes, the body gave off no odor, and the body showed no signs of rigor mortis or liver mortis.
That's
very
incredible.
Strange.
Yeah, very strange. High strangeness indeed.
I mean, you hit a rabbit on the road and come back a day later in a good heat, that rabbit's almost the size of your car.
That's right.
So the wounds were the same type seen on mutilated cattle and other mutilated animals. The eyes, the lips were removed. The mouth cavity was emptied. The ears were removed, along with tissue from parts of the face along the jaw, head, and neck areas. There were 1.5-inch diameter holes in the upper chest where the tissue, most likely lymph nodes, had been extracted. An exact duplicate hole is located on the upper right arm where all the muscle tissue was removed, the bicep especially. Another duplicate hole is located on the left leg where muscle tissue from the thigh was removed. An 1.5-inch hole through the navel is seen where the intestines were removed. The testicles and scrotum had been surgically excised through the penis, but the penis remained. It was also stretched to twice its size as the it looked like some type of instrument was used to remove the prostate via the urethral tube, and the anus had a 3 to 6-inch incision to empty the digestive tract tissue. It is exactly a carbon copy of the surgery scene done to so many UFO-related cattle mutilations. The most horrific thing that we found when we had the autopsy, which is, by the way, is in Spanish, which we had to get deciphered for us, was this kept coming up, and it comes up several times in the autopsy report, the words vital reaction.
Vital reaction.
Okay, now, the reference to vital reaction means, if I was a police officer explaining this to a judge, I would be saying that, you know, a vital reaction is if you would stab a person that is dead, okay, you would have the, of course, the mark of the knife going in, and it would be a nice clean cut hole, and you could take the knife and slide it right into the hole again, and it would fit perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You stab a live person, they twist, they turn, they jerk, they pull. That knife is not steady. That knife is being moved in a number of directions. So, therefore, around the wound, you're going to get a lot of hematomas, blood bruising, and blackness, and black and blues, and different colors all around those wounds.
Sure, and if it's post-mortem, there's no blood moving, so you're not going to get much bleeding.
Exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy... as they're describing the wounds, they're also describing putting in vital reaction. Now, when they say that, that means that this guy was alive when this was done.
My God.
He could not have been dead. He had to be alive to cause the vital reaction. And when they opened up the cranial cavity, like they do in an autopsy,
mm-hmm.
numerous cerebral edemas are found. Cerebral edemas caused by, if you had a person that was crushed in an industrial accident, and, you know, it was a very slow crushing, well, of course, the panic, the everything that's going through their head, their brain kind of like starts to backfire, and little vessels in the brain start to burst because they're, you know, it's agonizing. It's, you know, it's just this painful, unbelievable pain that they know they're going to die, so all this stuff happens to their brain. When they opened this guy's brain, took the brain pan off, this guy's head was full of it. So that was the kind of the icing on the cake as far as this guy was alive when it happened.
What a horror to imagine yourself alive during a dismemberment of that kind. Oh, my God.